When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of that galaxy and the center of our own, this is Force Center Presents Other Center. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Lando.
And we are here to have a deep dive discussion on life. That's right. All the Easter eggs, all the breakdowns, all the reactions are here about life. We got a great one today that I think is close to our hearts. It's definitely close to Joseph's heart as of late. You've heard him mention some things about it. And I think it's going to be close to all of your lives. It's comfort and adventure. But as always, before we get to that, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we'll have a Other Center recommends a book, an audiobook we think you might want to try out on us and help the show in the process. That's the Audible. We got some cool asks and a reminder, Joseph, here today.
Yes, yes. We're continuing to ask about Patreon. Hello. Hey. What's the deal with Patreon? No, thank you all for your support on Patreon. The thing that we want to be sure to plug is we did unlock a goal a couple weeks back, and the sort of goal was to do a live life ranked for patrons so we can chat with you in the chat while we are discussing the thing that we are ranking. That will be patrons will be able to watch live, and then we'll make it available later on to the entire world. And I think this is going to light the Discord on fire. The topic is the top five desserts. Jennifer got so excited, she made her list like 3 weeks early.
Yes, I did. Did some taste tests. Really had to do some research.
At one point, I'll talk about some of my life adventures in Vegas, but at one point I was just wandering around Vegas going, what are my top desserts? So I'm extremely excited to talk about this. Ken is as well. That's going to be this Friday, September 8th at 2 p.m. Pacific. We'll get the link ready soon, but mark it on your calendar, Friday, September 8th at 2 p.m. And in general, if you want to help us out while we talk Other Center, if you want to support us when we can get back to also talking about that galaxy far, far away, Patreon is the best way, the most stable way for that to happen. So if you're at all interested, want to be a part of the Discord and continue to have great chats, with all sorts of friendly, wonderful people, check out patreon.com/4center.
Yeah, check it out indeed. Thanks for the support. Thanks for the folks in the Discord. Can't wait for this. I'm already torn on desserts and like what I want to say. What do I want to say about desserts? And what's the truth? Right. What do I want to represent? Is it specific? Is it general? Oh, there's a lot of thoughts.
Oh yeah. Oh, we didn't even get into that. Is it not enough to say donuts? Do you have to say which specific one at which specific donut shop?
See,
ooh, yeah, you're, there you go.
You're right where I am, including the items. So it's gonna be good. Gotta be good. It's gonna be fun Friday live for all of you. We have some life adventures to catch up on. Joseph is going to close the life adventures because I don't blame you. It might become a full on podcast in its own.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to contain myself.
Yeah,
with an emphasis on try.
Love it. Well, Jen, I'll go because mine was pretty simple. I didn't do anything. I didn't fail at doing things. My fiance Grace was out of town. Her sister had an event to go to, so I was bachelor man around the house. And sometimes that's a little like woohoo stereotypical, yeah, let me go out with the boys type of thing. I don't live that life a lot, but sometimes I went the other way. I was like, you know what, I gotta fix that little nick in the paint. I gotta clean the driveway. And I just stayed home for 3 days and got things done. So that was the lesson. Sometimes just staying in, concentrating, moving down your list of things you need to do, and the clear feeling in your soul you get after you're like, we all make those jokes. We see those jokes and they're accurate jokes on social media. I put that off and I did it and it's done. It felt so good. It felt so good. And I was able to play Fortnite with a clear mind.
That really is, I think, the ultimate goal of many of us is to just play video games or watch movies guilt-free because we got a bunch of stuff done earlier that day.
Yeah, and I watched a picture. I was almost going to go and talk about it, but it's a picture I've been wanting to watch and had never watched it and sat down and I was challenged, I'll say, in a good, friendly way by our buddy Ken Plume. Always has some challenges for us in life. He mentioned a fast food burger that I didn't know existed, a nacho cheese burger from Wendy's.
Whoa.
From Wendy's. Okay. Wendy's.
And I was like, you know what? Tonight, I'm going to go try that. And I got my car and drove over to a very crowded Empire Center in Burbank, which was next to a Krispy Kreme. Apparently, there was some promotion on a Krispy. I mean, the lines were around the block for Krispy Kreme. And I was like, I'm trying to get to Wendy's. And I go in and it's a touchscreen order, right? You order, then you pick up at the counter. As I'm looking at the nacho burger combo, I hear a mother talking to her young children, like 7, 8, or 9, and I hear her go, they just put some disgusting cheese on a burger and call it a nacho burger. And I went, yep, that's the one I want. And just press the screen.
Yes, and, that thing that sometimes people mean something doesn't in insult, and you're like, yes, yeah. I know, that's why I'm here.
So that was my weekend. Lessons learned all around.
You're already doing our comfort and adventure topic. You had some comfort of getting some things done, and then you had some adventure. I got to know, did the Wendy's burger, Did it surprise you in any way?
I posted a picture of it on my Instagram stories. I took a picture of the menu, and a lot of people wrote me. It inspired some things. And my buddy Joshua Cougar wrote me, and he just went, dude, how is that? And I went, dude, it was the worst burger I've ever had, which made it the best burger I've ever had.
Oh.
It was a combo of tastes that I needed, but also might never have again.
I see.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Wow.
So that was my burger and life adventures, Jen. How adventurous were you with your menu?
I wish that I had cleaned. Instead, I've been deep diving into the past, all things retro, Esprit, which opened up a store at the Grove, which is a clothing company from the 80s that I used to wear, to Monchichi, which I went to downtown LA, and there was a whole wall of Monchichi toys, which were very popular in the 80s. And I had to get one. It was a mama and a baby.
Yeah.
So freaking cute. My kids were like, "Mom, I want this." I said, "No, I'm getting my toy this time." It was it was really something. I mean, because, you know, it was more of a collector's store, so everything was a little bit more higher priced than I'm willing to spend on them. But it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun diving into the past and reclaiming my past treasures, if you will.
Yeah, and putting them into sort of context, because when you're a kid and there's just a commercial and you just want a thing, you don't really know like the whole history of it. And I'm sure now you're in a position to understand like where this fits in the sort of the history of toys and how they manipulated you to want it.
Yeah, there were so many weird things in the 80s. I mean, I was like actually, you know, researching and seeing, well, what other toys that were out there? Weird ones that I had. Yeah. So I'm excited to dive in more because I'm making videos about it. So
nice. I think I have a theme song buried deep in my mind that you unlocked, the Monchichi Monchichi.
Yes,
that's it.
Yes.
That's it. Monchichi Monchichi.
I don't even remember what they are. Like if I heard that, I'd be like, oh yeah. And then I'd be like, I don't know what that means. I can't picture the doll. What are they like?
They're a little tiny monkey with an adorable little face. They were twins initially, and now the line has since expanded. There's even like a grandma and a grandpa Monchichi, which they have gray fur. So cute. It's so cute. My daughter was like, "Oh, why do you want that, Mom?" I'm like, I don't know. I have to have it. It's a strange feeling.
Don't make us explain our burgers and monkeys. We just want them sometimes.
Exactly. Want a nacho cheese.
I remember you could stick the thumb in the mouth. That's all I really remember.
Yes.
I'm looking up pictures right now.
High tech for the 80s. Thumb actually fits in the mouth.
Yeah.
It's just funny because it is a monkey design, but really it's a human child's face. So
yes, right, kind of like Cabbage Patch face.
Yeah, it's slightly an abomination, but it's amazing. I remember them well.
Yes. That was my weekend.
That's a full one.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, Jen, you and I had slower weekends, did a little less so that Joseph could run.
That's right.
Maybe some running, maybe some stumbling. Well, I like that all of our life adventures are connected in that we embraced weird things that, you know, the thing in life is not always, in my opinion, to find the thing that is perfect or best, but to find the thing that is interesting, full of personality, maybe a little bit of danger. Mm-hmm. So I had a great weekend going to Vegas. We talked before we started recording that maybe we'll do a Vegas episode, so I'll try to keep this a little shorter. But you're both making me laugh with the burger and the monkey judgment. So I've been to Vegas in bits and pieces, but I've never been to Vegas with my wife, Sarah, and I've never been there to be like, we're going to see a show and we're going to maybe play a couple of slots and we're going to do Vegas. Uh-huh. And the other times I've been there, I was doing a convention. So I stayed in a convention hotel it's just a hotel. It was not the Vegas experience. So we went to Vegas to see this Lady Gaga concert that I'll share a little bit about. So then it was just like, well, we're going there for like two nights. We can stay anywhere on this strip that we want to, you know. And my grandma used to go to Vegas all the time. I remember drinking out of like an MGM glass, you know, when I was a kid at her house. And now that I understand a little bit more of the timing of when it opened, when I was older, she became obsessed with the Luxor, which I understand now it was brand new then. And she felt very fancy. She was probably there in the first month.
Wow.
Just would not stop talking about it. I stayed in a pyramid and I rode an inclinator. So in my mind, it was like the Luxor. Wow. So I wanted to stay at the Luxor, and we love caveating things here on Other Center and Fourth Center. Like, I love ancient Egypt, the actual history and the aesthetic of it. I understand I stayed in a large building that is basically kind of upsetting cultural appropriation. It's not.
Yes.
I love a lot of pop. I love the actual incredibly intriguing history of ancient Egypt, but I recognize that the entire world kind of, not in the entire world, a lot of things and a lot of pop culture things that I like treat it like, you know, it's Mars or ancient Egypt. Like, well, ancient Egypt's not just a pop culture setting. It's real. Anyway, so that caveat there is amazing to stay in a pyramid. And I wanted one of the walls, one of the rooms in the pyramid with the inclined walls. And I wanted to stay there because the place is weird, tacky, has a bad reputation.
Yeah.
And I don't particularly believe in haunting, but if I did, I would believe that Luxor was haunted. So I posted a fun picture, and a bunch of people let me know why I shouldn't be staying at the Luxor because it's weird, tacky, and probably haunted. And I am here to say, everyone, thank you. I know that's why I bleeped and stayed there, because I wanted to stay somewhere weird, tacky, and probably haunted. Just like you wanted the burger with the crap cheese on it.
Yes.
And Jennifer, you wanted the ancient monkey figure from your childhood because it's weird. I had a great time. The ridiculous overpriced buffet in the basement that they have made to look like the excavation of the basement of a tunnel of a pyramid. Anyway,
is that the theme?
It is. It's so funny because they have, reading the history of it, they have massively backed off on the aesthetic. And it is funny because you go in and they're like these massive statues that you must, you know, pass under, you know, these guardians of the undead or of the past souls to get into the casino. But at the same time, like, there's a giant screen right next to this huge, you know, statue of a pharaoh, and the giant screen next to him is like, and come see Carrot Top. It's so weird. So we had a great time there. Talk more about it other places, but I have such a love of the of Sinatra and Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. and that era and what it means and how it fits into our history and how it fits into my relationship with entertainment. So it was really fun to kind of search around Vegas for the tiny vestiges of that Vegas. But the reason we were there was for the Lady Gaga concert. This was her jazz and piano. She's doing like 12 nights. And it was just, it was my favorite concert that I've ever seen. And to me, it is about, like, you know, you can talk about art of like, and analyze what do you think is better or worse. And then there's just the personal. And for me, this was amazing. I think anybody who likes music, anybody who likes Lady Gaga would absolutely love it. But part of what Gaga was doing was this beautiful marriage of the old and the new. It was celebrating that Rat Pack era and celebrating Tony Bennett and celebrating the spirit of old Vegas while also making things entirely new and her own. I don't particularly want to see like a tribute show where, you know, some random 40-year-olds pretend to be, and you know, Sinatra and Dean Martin, Sammy Davis.
You can go down to the Stratosphere and you can get that. They got the
sort of like, I don't want that uncanny valley kind of half, you know, I don't personally want that. And this was so alive. She was so amazing. She did a ton of the traditions of old Vegas shows and utterly updated them and made them personal in about her. The music was just phenomenal, and it was all constructed to just be like, there's there's a big band on stage and there were no dancers or anything. It was just like, let's really highlight the musicians, you know, really be able to see them play. Anyway, I could go on and on, but my favorite thing she did was a version of Fly Me to the Moon. And just is an example of sort of marrying the new and the old. She talked about really loving Tony Bennett's version of it. So she did a kind of a little bit slower, more heartfelt first part of it that really drove home what the lyrics are about. She did this show-stopping thing of, for a couple of lines, dropping the mic. And, you know, it was quieter, but you could still hear her with no mic, which made it even more organic.
Wow.
And then she finished. So that was all like sort of like this new and making it her own and making it personal. And then they kicked into like the classic version of it, arranged by Quincy Jones, played by Count Basie, Sinatra's standard Fly Me to the Moon, like to the drum beat accurate.
Wow.
And then just like blew the roof off the place. Just a perfect marriage of the old and the new and glamour and debauchery, precision in play. It's just like everything that I love about that music and that time and the spirit of Vegas was there. So good.
Man, yeah, I've been wanting to see that show for a while, and now you're making me want to make it happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. I will bug you more off air about going to see it.
That's so cool.
Beautiful. So much experience. You experienced a lot of Vegas. One of my favorite spots in the world. So can't wait to talk about more detail.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And experience it all in a short amount of time, which generally seems like a good way to do it.
It is. I've done the 5-day Vegas for not for work, for vacation. And yeah, about the third day, you're like, I have sinned. Forgive me, Father. I need to go home. I even one time switched casinos, like pre-planned. Oh, I'm going to do 3 days here, 2 days over there. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Right. Well, that's great. A lot of comfort, a lot of adventure, which, Joseph, is what we're talking about today.
Yes, absolutely. So this is something that I think about a lot, a topic that I think I'm obsessed with. And I think as a topic, it's kind of a framework to looking at the choices that you make in your life and finding what balance you want. And it's this balance between what I think of as comfort and adventure. There are a lot of other words for it, but here's an overview of what the hell I mean by that. And we can see by the end of this podcast, if we even still agree. To me, the idea is that neither comfort or adventure are intrinsically bad or good. I think we need a balance of them. And to me, when I think of comfort, it can be anything from things that we all absolutely do need, like a home that makes you feel warm and safe, trusted loved ones that are always there for you, a book or a movie or an album that you listen to on repeat and it feels like a tether, you know, reconnecting you to roots, soul, making you feel like, yep, this is who I am. But I also think comfort can become stagnation, where something that used to feel like, oh, warm and cozy, now just feels like this is actually a blanket fort I've made in that I hide in and I'm not even enjoying it anymore. And then on the other side of it, I think adventure, I don't know, I feel like everything, you know, from, you know, shoe commercials to just random t-shirts are always like, adventure, push yourself, you know. And I think adventure can just be anything that's new and makes you feel alive. It can be a burger at Wendy's. I think it can be something huge. Like I went skydiving. Maybe it's just sharing your art publicly is a huge adventure for a lot of us. Leaving the house with no plans, visiting a new city. The actual thing that inspired us to talk about this was Ken and I talking about trying a different dish at your favorite restaurant. That can be adventure. And I'm not a huge, Dune head. I don't even know what, Dune fans call themselves. I don't know if they've got a nickname that I don't know about.
A Dune? I don't know.
My main exposure to Dune is listening to other people talk about it and watching the David Lynch film version. But this is a quote that is used, in many of the adaptations, from the actual book. And it was one of those quotes that I wrote down. Cause like, ooh, that will help me think about this comfort versus adventure thing. So here is, this quote, from the book, but spoken by the character Duke Atreides. A person needs new experiences. It jars something deep inside, allowing them to grow. Without change, something sleeps inside us and seldom awakens. The sleeper must awaken. Part of the reason that hit me is I think growing up, I heard the phrase, the sleeper must awaken. And I assumed it was sort of like this big fantasy idea of like, yes, that's how you get superpowers, or or is the sleeper some giant god? And like, no, we're all the sleepers. So the idea that, you know, this amazing quote applies to trying a different burger at Wendy's really hit me of the sleeper must awaken. So that's sort of the overview of the way I've been thinking about this. I'm so excited to hear what both of you think. So Jennifer, I'd love to start with you. How do you feel about this comfort versus adventure as a framework to look at life? Do you like that idea? Do you feel in balance? Do you need to be? Is your sleeper awake?
Yeah, no. No, it's not. No, I'm a creature of comfort. I find comfort in routines. And for some reasons, as I've gotten older, and especially since the pandemic, I've kind of retreated to my home a lot. My husband, however, is an adventurer. He finds comfort in, like, you know, spontaneity and going out and doing things and going places. And I feel like when we first got together, I was kind of an adventurer too, because it was really exciting and fun. And now I'm like just burrowing in my rabbit hole with my, with my little baby rabbits. Right. So it's about finding that balance for the both of us. When it's like, okay, tonight, let's just stay in. It's okay. We don't have to go anywhere or do anything. And for him, it's like, there's a new festival that's going on. Let's ride our bikes with the kids and take them to this festival. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But then I have fun, right? And yeah, so it's, yeah, I kind of need that, whether it's him or a deadline or me like writing notes to myself, like today you're going to do this, right? It is really trying to find that balance for me, because I lean more towards comfort.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're talking about kind of a very classic comfort versus adventure of the, like, we got everything we need at home. Let's burrow in versus, oh, bike ride. Okay. But once I push past it, there's all this adventure. Do you feel like, even if there was a night where you were like, I'm going to stay home and there's comfort there, that you can find adventure just in changing up like a home routine?
I have a really hard time with that. Like, I order the same thing on a menu. Like, if we're going to get takeout, I will order the same thing. And my husband will be like, why don't you try something different? I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to get the meal and be like, no, this isn't as good as what I normally get. I really I have my blanket, my Barefoot Dreams blanket that I put on, you know, when I'm watching TV. Everything has to be, I don't want to say just so, but if there's any sort of disruption, it really is upsetting.
This is exactly why I was so excited to talk with you both about this, because I think it's easy to look at this, especially with my going on about the sleeper must awaken. I never, in discussing this, want to push people out of things that work for them, because I'm the same way of like, there are some restaurants like, yes, I don't want adventure at this restaurant. I want exactly what I know, because I don't want to do the thing where I get something new just to be new. And then have a bad experience. But then, of course, you get into that circular thing of like, but maybe you'd find a new favorite, which is what makes this topic so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So, Ken, where are you at? Do you like this framework? Are you haunted by it? How's your sleeper doing?
Ooh, haunted by it. I also am tired today. A chihuahua woke me up at night, so my sleeper is sleeping. No, I love this. This is important. This is, yeah, I think you can really boil down things both in our space saga stories and life. To simple, we always call it like bumper sticker wisdom, but I look at it as like life is very much about the powerful versus the powerless, fear versus hope, light and the dark, and the choice. I really think it's important to just occasionally just break it all down to that simple, the simple concepts, and comfort versus adventure. And you could look at it as fear versus courage, right? In that kind of way, because what you're talking about, Jen, is something I think a lot of people can relate to. Like, I get the orange chicken and pad thai. And if I don't get that, I might not like Tomka soup. I don't know. And if you push past, you might discover something new. And I think it's a simple concept to grab, but it has haunted me. I'm in a great spot with it. I know when I'm failing, when I'm failing to seek adventure, I know when I'm stuck to comfort, I still have to fight through it. You know, we can have longer conversations about travel, but that's why it's the best way I can explain where I am to you, Joseph, is I didn't travel a lot as a kid. As a young adult, didn't fly till late in life, like 30. I didn't get on an airplane till 30. Never had the opportunity as a youngster. And I was fearful of it. And when I got hired at Screen Junkies, 3 weeks in, they were like, cool, we got to fly to Chicago. And I was just like, I was ripped up anxiety. Like, I can't do this. Now I love flying. Now I know how I could get on a plane right now and go to New York and by myself land, get the cab, know how to do it. But that's because I found the comfort in that adventure. And I just had to push through. And you were with me. Getting to Europe was terrifying to me. Not because I didn't know how to do planes and airports, but just the simple, I've never been in that country. I don't know what to do. I get a little trapped by that anxiety. And I
needed, sorry, go ahead.
No, I needed you. And I specifically needed Sarah. She will lead us through.
There is just practical knowledge to that, yes. You know, and taking time to research, which Sarah does. Yeah.
That's great. So yeah, anyways, it haunts me, and I can get into some deeper spots of my career and everything too, but I'm thrilled by adventure.
Yeah. And it was really great to see, because I remember talking through it with you and you had some like very practical concerns about like, well, how much, do they grill you about what you're bringing in and out of the country and like all sorts of like totally practical things. But you also did just have some like, and I think you were clear about it, of like, I just have a little free floating anxiety. It's not attached to anything. It's just I am facing something new. And so I've got a little bit of anxiety set aside for whatever might occur.
Yeah. I thought the FBI was going to come out and grill me at LAX. I was like, what the, you know, and then in Paris, they did grill me for about 10 questions. And I thought, this is it. I'm done for. And like, I'm to the point now where like, I'll land, you know, people are always like, where's your hotel in New York? I'm like, I don't know. We'll land and Mark will tell me. I'll figure it out. I'll get there. that wasn't me 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I love what you're both saying. I think the reason that I like thinking about this is because it helps me figure out some hopefully better decision making. I'm not always perfect at it in any way. I'm not trying to be a self-help guru of I've figured it out.
Yeah, right.
And so should you. It's more like this is always going to be a challenge. So this helps me sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think more than anything, it really helps me thinking about comfort versus adventure. It helps me to check in with myself about what I truly need and why. Mm-hmm. Of do I want something that's comforting? I truly want it because it's calm and restorative, or I truly love it, or is it comfort that's tipping into something else, that's tipping into being lazy or scared? Like one of the conversations that inspired us talking about this was talking about this restaurant that we at this point should get money from, the Smokehouse in Burbank. That they have this steak Sinatra dish, which is the first time I got it was adventurous because it wasn't the kind of food I normally ordered. It have a couple ingredients I'm like, I'm not sure about that, but it's named after Sinatra, so I got it and I love it. And it isn't fear, it's love. When I go there and order the same thing all the time, it isn't about that anxiety for me about like, well, what if it's not as good? Because like, well, then you'll come back and you'll have the steak Sinatra, you'll be fine. Thinking about it is, it helps me know like that's a choice that isn't about fear. It's I want comfort. And like, Jennifer, that's what I hear you saying of like, you're not afraid to try another blanket. You want that blanket. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to check yourself. Cause I do think that there's so much that pushes us towards an adventure and defines adventure in like a very specific, like, you know, unless you're jumping off a cliff, you're dead inside. Like, you know, and then on the other side of it with the adventure, I think it's great to check in of, do I want adventure because I really do need something fresh in my life, or do I need to push myself on a specific idea, be it trying a restaurant or an art thing? Or I think adventure can also be an excuse to make dubious choices in hide from your life too. You know, I think it could be like, you know what? I'm going to have an adventure. I'm not going to plan. And like, cool. You don't want to plan and you're afraid to plan.
Yeah.
And what you're doing isn't just adventurous. You just had three mojitos, which you've actually done before. That wasn't an adventure. That was an excuse for you to actually just, you know, run away from planning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I love what you're saying about the, it's kind of a confirmation of what you know. The meal thing is a great way. We joke about the food a lot around here. But yeah, when you think of Smokehouse, you think of that meal. So one day you'll have something else, but you don't even necessarily need to. That's not the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think my sleeper is doing okay. I think my sleeper is awake, but I am definitely a creature of habit, and I definitely have had some moments where I've gotten way, way, way too like, no, this is comfortable and I don't need to try anything new. And mm-hmm. it has made a difference when I've woken up the old sleeper. Yeah. So I also want to be sure to talk about this early on in our conversation and see what you both think about it. I am of the opinion that age kind of naturally messes with our balance between comfort and adventure. Mm. I think by necessity and definition, young adulthood is adventurous because sometimes the things that eventually to us are like, to older people, like, yeah, I drove to the store. Well, the first time you drive to the store after you got your license, it's you're like, wow, I'm going to Walgreens. Like it quickly becomes not adventurous. When you're young, you have to try and do new things.
Yeah.
But then I think by just the natural physical abilities of aging, you know, you slow down a little bit. I think there's a sort of a cultural pressure of like older people aren't necessarily supposed to try new things as much. You're supposed to be settled down and stay in your lane. Mm. That you could look at life as there's a lot more adventure when you're young, and then the older you get, the more you get set in your ways. How do you both feel about looking at comfort and adventure and how it's affected by age? Jennifer, how do you feel about that?
I think that there are a lot of, you know, fake rules on how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to like, you know, well, the galaxy far, far away. Some people might say, oh, you guys still like that? Didn't you grow out of that? Right. Mm. For people, women, anybody really, like on how we should dress, right? You have to dress age appropriate, or like after you become a mom, you can't dress that way. It's like, well, why not? If that, you know, clothes are an expression of ourselves. And so I'm constantly combating that. And like, oh no, just because I'm a parent, like I can be in this fun club environment. Why not? Just for one night. This is my night out or whatever. Yeah. I'm saying that I'm gone in a club, but in theory. Yeah. So yeah, I'm constantly, and also for me, it's about being tired. So like the energy level or lack thereof is real as you get older. And so I don't have as much energy to like get myself dressed and all right, let's go do this thing or let's go out for a date night. It's like, all right, I've got to put on, you know, nice clothes. So it is for me trying to find that balance. But I feel like I'm very young at heart and I'm very silly, especially around my kids. And so I really push back against this idea of what we're supposed to be and the lack of adventure we're supposed to have. Like my mother-in-law, she's going all around Europe. She goes to Ireland, to Scotland. She's going to Italy soon. And she's traveling and she's, I think, almost 80 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, she and her sister just going and doing it. And I just think that that's wonderful. Like if you can, why not? Right.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Ken, how do you feel about age as it relates to this topic?
For me personally, it's helped the adventure side. As I said before, mm-hmm. I've emerged from real protective places, overprotective places, my own anxieties, and just thinking that I couldn't do these kinds of things. That just traveling, I mean, we'll talk about if we go deeper into Vegas, but one of my first Vegas trips was like during high school, but one of my first like adult trips by myself was an impromptu Vegas trip where my friend was like, what are you doing this weekend? I don't know, nothing. He's like, cool, we're going to Vegas. And I was like, you can't do that. You can't do that. And age has helped the adventure in the sense of I'm a little more sure of who I am. I'm a little more sure that I don't quite have the what's the worst that could happen mantra in my head. I'm not necessarily that person all the time. Like as long as, you know, we're alive, we're good. Like, nah, I don't, you know, I don't know about that, but, you know, I'm still safe. I'm not comfortable. I'm safe. So it's pushed me a little bit more, and I realize the importance of it and how not challenging myself to push past the comforts. And again, I want to reiterate, I think comforts can be a very positive thing. But not pushing past it when I was younger, I think affected some of my development or some of my career and some of who I am. And so I'm not trying to make up for it in a panicked or manic state, but trying to make sure I don't keep that mindset and always try to find new things and try new things, especially on the artistic pursuits.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the hard things about getting older in terms of the comfort versus adventure is when you're young, I think most people, not all people, of course, need to experience things themselves. And there's always that old truth of, you know, older people can tell you like, well, this is going to happen if you do X, most likely.
Yeah.
Mm. And you're like, I'll find out myself. So you don't have the personal life experience yet to know something is either a bad idea or a dubious idea, or it'll be really fun, but you'll pay this price. And I think one of the things that can make you stagnate as you get older is you've had lots of life experiences.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So like Jennifer, you're like, yeah, we could go out on a date, but I can for a date night, but I've done that a million times and I can imagine every step of the way. And is it worth it? Like, you know, right. But like the first time you went on a date or the third time you, 10th time you went on a date, right? You're like, what this is still new, you know? And I think that there is this sort of, I think part of the reason I think about the comfort versus adventure thing a lot is I think that as people get older and become in risk of stagnating, people will and culture will obsess just on the actual activities of youth. Mm-hmm. And when you're older, like, yeah, you it's physically not the same to stay out partying all night. Yeah. And there is a like, am I just trying to recapture the past? Mm. So what's helped me is to try to think about, I miss the emotion and the feeling I had when I stayed out all night. Mm-hmm. I don't want to stay out all night.
Right. Right.
But I don't want to not have that feeling. So I think I've been having lots of fun of going like, well, what was that feeling and why did I feel that way? And what could I do now to make myself feel that? I don't need to, you know, repeat my youth because it won't be the same and it will be harder on me. And then I'll be like, why'd I do that? But what could make me feel that way? And, you know, we can talk about more, but, you know, doing some different art projects and some scarier art projects, like that made me feel alive in the same way some of the activities that I don't want to do anymore made me feel alive when I was young.
It's, I don't know if it's related, but just hearing you talk about it, I'm laughing at myself because it's like when I first started going to San Diego Comic-Con, if we weren't out till 4 a.m. and getting up at 6 to go to a press event, then we weren't living. And and now the last couple of years, it's like, I don't even go to the con. I just go down to do comedy. And I'm like, hey, let's go back at 10. The party's done. Let's go home.
It's fine.
But I want that feeling. The feeling was fun and companionship with my buddies and excitement and things I didn't do when I was younger. So I understand wanting the feeling, but I also know that I don't need that. I can just get that little hit and move on.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. But you are doing something. I mean, you're not new to stand up, but you've been doing this version of Comic-Con for a few years and you're still getting that spark of the new and you're doing new material and challenging yourself. So you are doing something new and exciting.
Yeah. Just not as strong.
And then going to bed at 10. I want to talk a few specifics. We're going to get the negative stuff out of the way and then we'll talk some positives after the break. But Ken, I want to start with you. What's a specific example of a comfort that went beyond comfort and became negative, stagnating, or something that you just clung to out of habit?
Yeah, it could be, it could go too deep and too long. So I'll try to just, it's a concept more than thing, but I have a problem career wise I'm afraid of new things and all those kind of things that we all struggle. We've been talking about, though I love adventure now, but if I find it, the travel example is great. All right, cool. I was afraid to go to New York for years. Now I know I go often, usually once a year, and it's great. And I love it. I can tell you how to do it. But then I don't want to go to other spots because I know New York. you know, then so right. That's been a career problem I've had. So if I started my career in pro wrestling about 2001, and I didn't know where I wanted to go with it. I was a manager ringside, helped with some of the booking and writing. And a lot of people I knew were trying to, you know, there's the wrestler side, but then there's the non-wrestler side, which I was part of. So I found a local Fed that my best friend at the time owned, and I worked there, and that was great. It was comfortable. And once I got over some of the, you know, it's hard to navigate the waters of that industry. But once I knew it, it was great. It was wonderful. But I didn't go out and try to get a job at another one or move up. Or actually focus on, do I want to do something with this, or is this just a fun hobby? Both are fine, but what is it? And I watched other folks. I know a lot of people who went on to work with WWE and who are in WWE, or who went on and had comparable careers. My friend Johnny LaQuasto, a comic and announcer.
Oh yeah,
Johnny, and I was there when Johnny started, and that and stand up. When I found a group of comics that we performed weekly at, instead of going around to other clubs and getting experiences and connections and moving forward. Every Thursday I went to that spot and then it's not just about success and what's your bank account and your IMDb list, but I watched other people get some successes that maybe I could have experienced or maybe I wanted, or I didn't know if I wanted, and I just stayed. And and that's a pattern that repeats over and over and over again. And I still struggle with it. Even back in stand up now, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm kind of a regular over at Flappers. Let's see what that does in Burbank. And I forgot suddenly to book other shows, you know, and now Flappers isn't booking me as much and I'm stuck without shows. And I'm reminding myself, hey, you did this 15 years ago. Don't do that. And that's an example where, yeah, it's great. Cause every Thursday I know, and it's around the same people, and I feel great. And I feel myself. I can just go do that show and I'm not driving to a place where I don't know where to park and who to talk to and what kind of crowds there. I know this. I know room 5 on La Brea. And then it kind of hurt me time. And that's something that's happened over and over and over. Again, did I want a career in pro wrestling? I don't know. But I know a lot of people went to write for the WWE for 6 months. It's a crazy job. I don't know if I'd want it. But like, I didn't know that answer because I didn't try. I just found this thing that I did once a month, did the shows, felt good, and stopped and stagnated. And I always regret that and still have to fight that.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. And I think it's, I got a lot of examples of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Comforts that became negative or stagnating. And in a way, it's like it's fascinating the way we're talking about the way adventure can very quickly become comfort. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a part of me that I want a story of like, oh, the coffee mug that I wouldn't move on from, which has happened. But a lot of the ones that I think of are similar to your Kenza. They started as adventure. And so they feel like adventure. But then after years and years of doing them, there is an element of adventure, certainly. But you said the key words when you were talking about going to do stand at the same place of like, I know where to park. Mm-hmm. Adventure is so much, you know, it's so easy to go like adventure is skydiving or, you know, drinking a shot with a scorpion on your hand, like James Bond adventure. But like adventure is just, I'm starting something and I don't know how it ends because I haven't done it before.
Yeah.
So adventure is so often just opening yourself up to letting go of knowing how it is most likely going to go and discovering things. So for me, I absolutely adore and treasure all of my experiences doing the Minnesota Fringe Festival. And I have many friends who are having a great time doing it. So I am only speaking for myself. It started as adventure and I had, you know, a great success there. And I had great things from that and bad things from that, because I got a little taste of how unhappy it can make other people when you are successful.
Yeah.
And I did not stagnate. I did lots and lots of different kinds of shows and tried different things and I grew. So there was a lot about it that wasn't stagnating, but I'm really relating to what you were saying, Ken, of like, I never intended to just do fringe shows, but I knew the fringe. I knew how it worked. I knew when to submit. I knew how to run a tech. I knew how to do the math about how many people would come and how much money I would make. And it was a real realization to me that, like, in my mind is like, I'm doing theater and I'm doing really different things every time and taking risks, but just doing the same festival every year stopped me from moving to LA and mm-hmm. trying different things and shooting for something different. So that was an adventure that was still adventurous, but also became a comfort in exactly the way that you're describing, Ken.
Mm. Mm. Well, glad I'm not alone in stagnation.
You are not. We're having a stagnation party. Jennifer, for you, what's an example of a comfort that became negative or stagnating?
I'm joining this party because, like you both, I mean, Ken, gosh, I relate to your story so much. Throughout my career, I worked at E! For a period of time, and I worked with, they're now incredibly successful hosts. They were not hosts when I was there, and they just had aspirations, but they made the decision and they went out and they hustled and they pushed themselves and are now extremely successful in acting. I actually was in class with Johnny. It's so funny. But literally in every acting class I have taken, some of these people are like, I don't want to say A-list, but like incredibly successful actors who were in big movies, big shows. And what I think of is I'm like, the problem with class when you're an actor or, you know, wanting to do these things is you can get stuck in this class rut where I'm being adventurous. I'm an actor. I am a performer, right? So that's a big adventure. But it's like I'm hanging around the pool. I'm not actually diving in. So you're rehearsing and you're performing scenes for your class and you're hanging out with other actors and you're commiserating. And you feel like you're doing it, but you're not actually doing what you need to be doing, which is making the work, right? Mm-hmm. Putting yourself out there, writing short films, creating your own content, connecting with other actors, submitting for student films or, you know, what low budget films, all those things, which I didn't do because I was so comfortable challenging myself in class and then just waiting for my agent to call me for commercials or theatricals or whatever, which as we all know, that's like not the way to really do things unless you're getting a ton of auditions. So I look back and I'm like, oh, everyone's like, wow, you were such a risk taker. You are, you know, an actor. It's like, yes, that's part of the risk, but part of it, the biggest part of it is actually diving in that water and challenging yourself and being a part of the adventure, right? Which is like connections and really putting yourself out there. It's like the next step of the adventure. So now I'm trying to push myself more, but it is tough to look back and say, gosh dang it, if I had just made some more, you know, better choices with that, who knows how things could have turned out. But
and that's so hard because you never know when just the lucky break is a part of that as well. And
right,
you know, I always tried to talk about it early in my theater career when the Fringe was going well and is a very successful had a nice success for it. Like it's you have to increase your odds for good luck of like it's mm-hmm. it, like
yes.
It's like the good version of lightning strikes are rare, but I want to stand on the highest hill with a golf club.
yeah
you know, and I think that's what it comes down to is you can't control that the lucky break, but the more you put yourself out there, and I think sometimes the scariest thing artistically is kind of being bold enough to say, well, I am worth it. I am good enough, you know, and not fake it till you make it, but just like it's hard to go like, yeah, I'm great. And I need everybody else to see it.
Yeah.
Give me opportunities because I'm so great.
Right.
That's a scary thing to do.
Look at me being great. I think the subtitle of this episode could be Comfort Minus Adventure Equals Regret. That's
exactly it.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great episode. We already wrapped it up, everybody.
That's just done. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, let's look at it from the other side. Jennifer, I want to start with you this time. Do you have an example of an adventure that became risky or unhealthy? Because that's the other thing to be aware of with I think adventure being like, just be bold, go out there. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
it would be adventurous to streak across the freeway, but like it's an experience I haven't had and it's really challenging myself, but yes. You have something that tipped out of control for you.
Oh yeah, 100%. This is where I literally was saying to myself at mid-20s, I'm like, I'm going to be adventurous. And I went and I got a job on the Sunset Strip at Miyagi's. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah,
place.
Yeah, yeah.
They also own Saddle Ranch, which I also worked at for a short period of time. But I worked at Miyagi's longer. And that was me. Wait.
Were you there the night I had my gallbladder attack?
I've witnessed a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff.
Not around 2006. Me going, is this a heart attack? No, it turned out to be gallbladder.
Mm. Oh my gosh. I also had I had my gallbladder removed.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
Good. At Miyagi's?
Yeah.
No, not at Miyagi's, but actually it was a little bit after that time. Oh,
see,
boy.
There you go. Going around
town. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But that was like tipping the scales to all adventure all the time. You know, like you want to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and walk down Sunset? Yes, 100%. Do you want to, you know, do crazy things to get people to come into the restaurant or get people to like buy more alcohol or whatever it is? Yes, 100%. Like it was me saying yes to that adventure because I had been really, you know, straight edge, as we've talked about before, and really not doing that. And so in my shell. So it was me pushing myself. But because I had never really done it before, I didn't know how to do it right or safely. And I just was like, nah, I was like skydiving off this cliff. And boy, I'm thankful nothing bad happened. But boy, there were some times where I'm like, oh God, I really escaped narrowly with that one. So yes, it was a lot of fun. But I look back and I'm like, what was I thinking?
Just like physical health risks?
Yes, physical health risks, just acting dumb. I mean, but you know, in certain situations, you think you're great. And it's like, you look back, you're like, oh my gosh, I was doing stupid stuff. But you know what? Everyone else was doing stupid stuff. So yeah, there were some interesting characters at work there.
Yeah, I bet. How about you, Ken?
I wish I had Jen's stories. I've never ridden that mechanical bull at South Bend, but I've eaten sliders in front of it. Because I'm such a cautious kid and always have been. So I lost one of my favorite ties at a strip club in Vegas. Does that count? That was pretty bad. I was pretty bad about that. But I don't want to just tie it into career. That makes me sound so boring. Like I only focus on work. Oh gosh, I have to look closer at that in my own life. But I think that I want to push myself creatively and change some things on some of my podcasts. And I felt that, it's pushed me into some spots where I've definitely lost listeners and definitely lost money, but also can't pull myself out. Like I just like, oh, all right, I'm too angry. maybe I gotta, and I pushed the adventure of trying something new and pushing myself creatively, into places I'm very happy with, quite frankly, but also, I'm dealing with the effects of it and I got to figure out what that means. So I think it's kind of a boring answer, but it's the flip side of the previous one, right? Where it's like, all right, cool. Put yourself out, do something different. But then you also have to, make sure, I'm not pushed too far. Again, I'm really happy with a lot of my work, but it's affected me and it's become unhealthy, professionally at times, maybe unhealthy for my mental health. So I have to find the balance again on that. I think find out who, what I want to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that is kind of the spirit of adventure. And I think it's great that you have, you've been finding yourself passionate about a lot of topics that you would have normally been like, we don't talk about that. And you're talking about it loudly and honestly in a microphone. And I think that's good adventure.
Yeah.
I definitely see the risk of like, that could become, an anger issue, right? Of what starts out is like, I'm gonna boldly say what I really mean with my whole chest. Now suddenly becomes, I love yelling at people.
and I'm never gonna change what I'm gonna talk about or shy away from anything that's tough that I used to. My views on it have changed, but just like, all right, I'm too far down this one path. How do I invite more people in? You know, how do I get the message out without, I love Lewis Black, but I don't want to just do a Lewis Black rant for 45 minutes on a show. You know, it's like, how do I talk in a different way? How do I can keep being an entertainer? How do I keep people around so that I can keep doing this? There's something I'm a big fan of Conan O'Brien, but there's a part of me that when his Tonight Show debacle happened, he had been told several times, you're going to need a change. And he stubbornly refused. And it's not the sole reason he lost the gig, but it's part of it. And if you read the story, I personally have some frustrations as a fan going, all you needed to do was maybe tweak this. And you could have still had this dream. And I'm not saying he gave up on it. And I'm not saying he was done right. He was done wrong. But, you know, I see that's kind of where I'm at. Some of the things, not for center and other center, happy with this adventure that we had to take and felt we needed to take, but some of my other stuff. And it's a weird struggle. I find the balance. I got to get right back to the between comfort and adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it is about that balance. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I'm going to try to, exhausted from Vegas, find the right words for a delicate topic. Yeah. I know people who pine for those early messy dating adventures. Mm-hmm. Maybe dating isn't even new. Maybe you've just been single for a long time and you're kind of used to the thrill of constantly I'm meeting a new person and, you know, I don't know if they're going to text back and I've lost my mind for this person. Oh, but now maybe they're cheating on me. And like, it's all exciting because, you know, it's new and right. You don't know how it's going to end and it's adventure. And we have so much in our culture that is sort of trained to tell you that like romantic adventures are exciting, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know people who are happily married, but maybe still kind of pine a little bit for the adventure of all that, mm-hmm. especially when they're safely removed from it. In that weird trap of sort of like, I want to be back in my youth when I didn't know I was making really bad choices, because in retrospect they sound so fun. But I think for me there was I definitely had times where I pursued dysfunctional dating relationships, and this is not at all a like I went after crazy ladies at all. It was, you know, people who were in different places in life, and it should have been apparent to me fairly early on that even though there was mutual attraction, this was a train wreck. Mm. But I had not even a train wreck. It was just one of those, like, we were both interested in each other, but we were there was too much other, you know, baggage on the field. Mm-hmm. There's no way that train isn't going to derail. And I remember a friend from the outside watching me kind of enjoying the adventure of, you know, I can't even sleep because, you know, she was supposed to call me back and she didn't. Oh, but then she did the next day and we went and like all that stuff, and just like shaking his head of just like, I'm watching you do it again. And that was like the last dating relationship before Sarah and I started dating. And Sarah and I have a wonderful relationship and we have ups and downs like everybody, and we have adventure, and finding all this balance, you know, can be an adventure. But part of what was, I was so like, oh, Sarah's the one, is we could just say, what do you want? Mm-hmm. What do you want? Mm-hmm. And right. Answer honestly. And if the honest answer is, I don't know, but let's figure it out together. And that was like, that was mind blowing to me, which, you know, became clear. So anyway, I think for me, an example of like an adventure that became too much was one of those last, like, this is a dumb relationship and you know it and you're doing it to yourself.
Right.
Yeah, I've got some of that.
Yep.
That's fun.
And yeah, no harm, no foul. You know, the person involved was awesome. It was just not the time or the place. And anyway. Yeah. We're going to take a break, but first we have an adventure because we don't know what's going to happen. And that's the recommendation for the audiobook, because I've stopped writing them down and just throw it out of who wants to recommend a book today.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was trying to engage, but also, gosh, I hope this book is on on here. And I'm on Audible, the great, easy to navigate Audible, which it is. I found one. All right, we're talking about change and comfort and adventure. This is an older book now, but I read the book 30 Nothing by Lisa Jewell years ago, and I quite enjoy it. And I think you all should check it out. It's about age and growth and all those kind of things. And it's very English because it's UK based. Lisa Jewell's a great author, still going strong. And it's narrated by Helen Duff. And you can check that out today by going to audibletrial.com/4Center. That's right, audibletrial.com/4Center. Check out Lisa Jewell's 30 Nothing and support the show in the process with your free audiobook. There you go.
Great. That is a great recommendation and an adventure well rewarded. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back more to talk about the balance between comfort and adventure back in a moment.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Other Center. We have taken a look at comfort and adventure. Comfort versus adventure. Comfort or adventure might be a bigger question, Joseph, that we'll need you to answer here. But we're going to continue the conversation. And your notes say, let's look at the positive. Did I go too dark? Did you
know I was? No. I'm definitely having one of those. Should I have said all that? All right. Okay. No. I want to talk about you did not go too dark at all. I think honesty is good. But I also want to reflect that, you know, when we're talking about these things, there are those moments where like, yeah, this is a comfort and I like it. Or, yep, this is an adventure. It is a little bit of a risk and I know it and I want it. And that's good. So I want to talk about those positives. Jennifer, what's a form of comfort that you truly enjoy? There isn't anything negative about it. You know, it's a comfort. You want it. You wrap yourself in it. Maybe it's literally a blanket. Where do you go?
I mean, yeah, the most obvious would be when it was Sunday nights and there was, you know, must-see TV in my mind well, I'll just mention it, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Succession, you know, all those. And it just was like something I knew, even if it was a crappy day or a hard weekend with my kids, like I knew my husband and I were going to get on the couch and we were going to watch our show and be transported to whatever world was offered up. And there was just a lot of comfort in that. And I've been a little discombobulated because I don't have any shows on Sunday nights that I'm watching right now with him. So that has been kind of some, so he's been like playing Legend of Zelda. So I'll just sit there and like watch and tell him where to go and stuff. So that's kind of what we've been doing.
Sunday night. Yeah.
That amazing.
Yeah. So that's about it, I would say. Otherwise, the other answer would be like making videos, like researching and then shooting it and then finding my B-roll. And then I love editing and sitting down. I get my snacks and I'll do it in the afternoon and then I'll go back and edit at night when everyone's asleep. I love that. I find that very comforting.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think I have lots of comforts that I enjoy, and I, you know, make sure that I don't enjoy them so much that they become too stagnating. But I think it's great to surround yourself by them. A couple examples for me. I have a friend in Minneapolis that has lived in the same apartment for, I helped him move in 1998.
Wow.
And I remember going there in the year 2000 thinking, I love this apartment and I love going there to play board games with this group of friends. And I should really treasure this because it won't last forever. That was in the year 2000. He still lives there and it's great. Selfishly for me, it's great. It's one of the things I miss the most about Minneapolis, of like that apartment playing board games with that general group of friends. It shifts a little bit of like, I don't care. This is like absolute comfort food for me. The other thing is just sometimes like creature comforts. Early on in our relationship, I might have already had it. I think I had just a simple black zip-up hoodie. Often what I wear at home, I often wear it out. Sarah has taken to, watching for when they become just like absolutely destroyed because the sleeves are just like frayed and crusted with with the stains from the Steaks Not Dread Smokehouse. And then she just very kindly takes it upon herself to buy me a new hoodie. And I believe over like the course of our relationship, the first one she gave me is like, here's hoodie Mark II. She got the exact same one and called it Mark II. And I think we're on about hoodie Mark VIII.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Yeah. How about you, Ken?
Again, trying to find something more exciting than just career stuff. A simple comfort is a good meal, right? A good going to a lower class restaurant. I don't need no fancy high classes. I need a diner, a lunch with friends. I used to get made fun of by friends in my mid-20s because I'd want to go to dinner at like 4 or 5 o'clock. And they're like, what are you, 70 already? Like, but I don't mind a big, we always talk about smokehouse, obviously, but that's a comfort. But I love a smokehouse on a Friday night at 7 o'clock. It's absolutely a bursting at the seams with energy and history. And I love that. But I also love 11:30 on a Wednesday for lunch. but it's one of my things. I like sitting with a friend or two and just, I tend to overeat because I want to have several items and options in front of me. Chips and salsa, but 4 taquitos, but also 2 tacos, maybe a tostada, because I like to just sit there for a while and chat and talk, be friendly with the staff that helps me. And that's just one of my things. I don't know the ins and outs of Picasso's life at all, other than what I know from TV shows or Paul McCartney songs. But the Paul McCartney song about Picasso's last meal, just this idea of, every midnight he ate with friends. I'm like, that's great. I'd love that. Joseph, you've been around for my fire pits. I just like, snacks. I overbuy snacks and drinks, but I like it. And that's a comfort. It's a little bit socialization, but it's also just some intimate comfort between people, friends and people you're connected with. And I love that.
Yeah. I love that as we talk about comforts that we enjoy and we're sure of, I think we're starting to talk about tradition.
Yeah.
The things that obviously is cultures. We have holidays and we have, specific meals that go with specific things. And I think as individuals and as friend groups, we also have these traditions and they can have an element of adventure. I think, going out with friends to a diner can turn into an adventure real quick. But I think it's great to have those traditions that make you feel stable.
Yeah.
And, yeah. All right. So let's talk then about good adventures. Ken, I'm going to make you go back to back. Do you have a favorite form of adventure or a time you had a great adventure that you did something that you didn't know how it was going to end and it ended up great?
I think it's always coming back to travel for me because I didn't, you know, I harp on a lot, but I didn't have that chance. And that's not a slight against my folks. It's more slight against the economics of our world that we just weren't able to do that as much. And I think they didn't take as much time to do it. My mom has kind of a fearful approach to life. Let's not do that. We might get hurt, you know, and that carried over a lot for me. So to finally get to do that, but I rarely do it for personal. It's usually professional and doing it for stand up or conventions or something. But through that, I have little adventures in the city. I love, you know, just walking around and finding my comforts in new cities. And I love returning to cities. So I love the new ones, but, getting back to DC a couple times and, you know, doing comedy there, but being able to like, all right, I know how I wake up and where I go get my coffee and where I go walk after. And that's a fun little venture, adventure and finding comfort. And that's for me, cause it means a lot. I still get super excited. And this will tie into some of the Vegas conversation. If we do that episode I get excited that I never thought I would do this. And it seems simple. I know some folks who were born traveling, and it's not always a privilege everyone gets to enjoy. But travel could also be an hour out of town, right? It's not necessarily getting on a plane or a boat or a ship or anything or a train. That's big for me. It's big for me. So it's a little burst of adventure that's happened over and over the last few years.
That's great. That's great. How about you, Jennifer? What is a form of adventure you love or a specific adventure that turned out great?
Well, before kids, my husband and I used to be very adventurous. And one thing I used to love that we did was we would ride our bikes to the metro and then we would take the metro all over the city. So sometimes we might go to downtown and ride around there, meet up with friends, check out some bars or restaurants, like in the arts district. But what I really also used to love is that we would take it and ride over to Hollywood for Cinespia. And Cinespia is the outdoor movie event at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. So we would take the metro to Trader Joe's in Hollywood, pick up some items, right? We shove it in our backpack, ride over to Melrose, which is where the Hollywood Forever Cemetery was. And because they let the bikes in first before the cars and stuff like that, we would get right in. And it was so magical. Like you're riding, which is not sounds weird, but you're riding through the cemetery, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at all these tombstones. It's just like, this is so weird. And then we would get to our area and you get to watch a retro movie and we'd have our snacks and our wine and cheese. And then at night you ride back and it was just like so peaceful. It's what you would not associate with Los Angeles. It just was, it was really special. So I missed that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
That's so great. I've only been to Cinespia once and it was a great adventure because it was half amazing and half out of our control. The film was Rear Window and like, it was basically like the studio it was shot in was right behind it. But we got there later and didn't have high enough, you know, camping seats or whatever. So it was very funny to see Rear Window, a movie that's all about staring at things and only being able to see half of it. but that's adventure. I think for me, I'm really trying to work on just the feeling of saying, I don't know how this is going to go. I've analyzed it enough to be safe. And now I'm just going to let myself go. I'm going to just not pause too long. You know, I've been saying to myself, you know, like, don't hesitate, just go. You know, follow your instinct. And again, I don't mean like it, just literally jump off a cliff, but more emotionally of allowing myself to live in that space. And ironically, the more that I do it, I think the easier it gets. And I've been trying to do it about things like for our Vegas trip, like we had a very limited amount of time before the Gaga concert. And so we planned where we wanted to go, but then we absolutely had to adjust on the fly. And instead of sort of trying to get tight about that, trying to open up to the, like, but this is going to create things that we can't control. And even things that might be like, this didn't go exactly as I planned, maybe you can actually embrace that. I had worked to try to find real remnants of the Sinatra days, and the Golden Gate Casino on their website has like, hey, you can come to this bar. It's been, you know, retrofitted and changed a million times, but this is back in the day where the Rat Pack would hang out sometimes after their show. And we have this cocktail list inspired by them. It's like, okay, great. So we get there and it's not, the website just hasn't updated that they didn't get rid of it, but they stopped it being in its own space. It's got a bunch of pictures of the Rat Pack, but it also just like, it's just a smoky casino with a bar. And we sat down and we said, the bartender's like, I'd like this drink named after a famous Dean Martin song. I want a kick in the head. And he's like, they haven't changed the website. We don't do any of those things anymore. We don't have any of those ingredients. And he was real friendly, but he was kind of braced for the umbrage.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's that part of me that wanted to be like, we built our whole day around this. This was going to be like the crowning part of our day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, that must really be awful for you, because I bet people come in upset and it's not your fault the website changed. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, you know what? I think I remember one of those drinks. And I was like, do you remember what it was called? And like, no. So it's just like, all right, I'm going to get whatever he remembers.
Yeah.
And he was trying so nice to be nice to me and give me a little bit of what I came for. And then he made me a drink, and I think it was accurate to what was on the menu. It was called a Lady Luck, and it was horrible.
He made a
fine job making it, but the drink itself was garbage. It was awful. It was like peach schnapps with cream or something. It was like, I'm going to get a headache and a sugar high like a 5-year-old from smelling this. It's awful. But I was able to get to that place of like, none of this would have happened. I wouldn't have had that interesting interaction with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have had this, you know, I would never have picked this drink in a million years. But then, look, this is what I came here for, is for adventure, and you didn't know what was going to happen next. So by not getting what I wanted, I got exactly what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was open to not just the adventure of going, but the adventure of being okay that it didn't turn out exactly as I planned.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great. Freewheeling. You know,
freewheeling.
I
don't mean to be like, I got this all the time. I'm talking about the times that it worked, because it doesn't always work.
No,
that's right.
No,
very short thing too is just, you know, working on the short film that I've talked a lot about. In order to do that, I went out on every thin branch imaginable, from time, money, relationships, what I was asking of people. And the more I've read about filmmaking, like that, yeah, that's called making a film. And you know, when you're making a short film and you have no money and you're not, you want to be like, well, this would never happen to Spielberg. And like, wait, no, that's his entire career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And like, so it's just a short way to say, like, I think that's true of a lot of creative things, of you have to live in that place of, this could all spiral out of control. Easily. You're pushing yourself to the brink of money, time, creativity, relationships, because that's how this kind of art gets made.
Yeah, it's a miracle any of it does get made, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Any other adventure thoughts before we move on?
Mm-mm. No, I think you're doing a great job. I struggle with new tech, but then I also embrace it more than I used to. But that also creates struggles and, all those kind of things. And there's the ups and downs indeed.
Yeah,
we all got to say it's a lady luck.
Yep. You too can have a really dubious cocktail. So looking toward the future and finding balance between comfort and adventure, Ken, what's a future day you could plan that might be a perfect balance of comfort and adventure?
A future day of comfort and adventure is pushing myself to order something new, but also go to a place that I love. It is about, I'm going to go do a show at a place that I always perform at, but you know what? That bit I've been afraid to try, let's do it.
Mm.
Let's do it. The worst thing that can happen is I bomb. I've done that before, and you still walk away. The locations and the tasks and the things I'm doing could change, but living in that balance and striving for something new and not being afraid to do something new, but also knowing that I'm good at this thing. I'm good at this place. And I know this restaurant. I know where to park. And that's an important thing.
I know where to park, but what am I going to do when I get out of my car? That's great. Mm-hmm. How about you, Jennifer?
I think trying to challenge myself to plan for adventures, because my husband's always the one that's like, oh, let's go do this. And I realize I'm like, oh, I guess I could suggest an adventure. It just sometimes it's like, oh, I'm tired. I know the kids are exhausted. And my eldest now is at the age where she's like, the whining starts. Mom, I don't want to be here. It's like, oh, no, we're already getting into that preteen, even though she's not a preteen. But yeah, it was such a lesson this weekend. We went to a block party in our neighborhood. And I really didn't want to go for the reasons I just stated. Mm-hmm. And we went and I was like, this was way too much fun. I wish that we'd actually come sooner. If I hadn't just been such a stick in the mud, you know, and like, do we really want to go? No, we should have gone earlier. So that was such a lesson to really get, you know, get out there in the world and chat with people.
Yeah. That's great. I think one thing that strikes me, and maybe it will change, we'll see. It does relate to that other galaxy, so I'm not going to go into any details. But the opportunity to go to a known convention with other people, you know, there's so much comfort there of, I know what this convention's about. I know what these people are like. I know I have fun with them. But then taking all of that familiarity, all of that comfort, in putting it in an entirely different city and in a city you've never been to, that to me is like such a great balance of comfort and adventure. Mm-hmm. And I think that applies to lots of things. Like, you know, I would love to just be like, I'm going to have I would love it if a friend said, like, we're going to go on a mystery crawl, and like, okay, I know the friend. I don't know what they mean by mystery crawl, and I might hate it, but like that mix of there's part of what you're being surrounded by that's total comfort. So then you're braced for the adventure as well.
That is very much about the people you're on that adventure with, huh?
Yeah. I mean, there's some friends, to be perfectly honest, I would not trust them with a mystery crawl.
Yeah. exactly.
I would draw the line. I think we've been pretty cautious as we've been discussing this, but again, I'm really careful about, I don't want to come across as some sort of, any of us to come across as some sort of self-help gurus, or we've figured it all out. And I think any life advice can become sort of bad if you overemphasize it. So what for you, Jennifer, would be your concern about overemphasizing the comfort versus adventure framework?
I think it's important to have both. I think it's important also to like we've been talking about, to recognize that some people just prefer one or the other, and that's why we have these documentaries about people that go and climb different crazy mountains, right? Because that's their comfort. That's where they are happiest, is being in that thrill zone. And there are some people where that's just not comfortable for them and they don't want to do that. And that's okay. But it is also important to recognize when you find yourself maybe holding yourself back, to kind of gently nudge yourself, like, okay, go try it. And what's the worst that can happen? Or a little bit of exposure therapy, as my therapist said, you know, see if the worst is going to happen. Okay, try putting yourself out there. What's going to happen? And then, oh, wow, I actually had fun. So that next time you're willing to take that risk.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. I'm going to share some thoughts so we can close with your wisdom, Ken.
Oh.
I think it's just so important to try to follow your instincts rather than to follow any advice as a sort of a total roadmap of should. I really agree with the wisdom that you said, Jennifer. Like, some people just tilt a little bit more toward they need adventure. They need comfort. I was watching a documentary and there is some like great, really kind of typical sort of verbiage about like live your life out loud. She's really thinking about like, I kind of want to, but there's sometimes like, it struck me as like a great comedy sketch of like live your life out loud and somebody just being like, no, I like my life quiet. I like Doritos in this couch. I actually don't want to live my life out loud, and not everybody does want to live their life out loud. So I love that, and that's why I think it is what helps me about the comfort versus adventure framework is to not, is to try to use it as a guide to listen to my gut, because I've had moments of like analysis paralysis with ordering a cocktail of, we also had a funny adventure this weekend where both my wife and I kept being like, we should be adventurous. We're in Vegas. Well, we could just get martinis, which we like. And almost every time we got something that wasn't a martini, it was awful. And then martini we got was great, you know?
Yeah.
But I've had those moments of like overemphasizing, making just a small everyday thing into giving it too much meaning, right? Of like, I'm out and I have to make a choice about, do I order the thing I'm used to or something adventurous?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it isn't the be all and end all of your life, you know, but I've had those moments where I've had the analysis paralysis of like, but if I get the comfort thing, that's a symbol that I'm settling, you know, like, but if I get the adventure choice, that's a symbol that I'm out of control. Like,
right.
I think it's better to use this framework as something to maybe give you some guidance, but follow your instincts of when do you need the tradition? When do you need hoodie Mark 8? You know, a Sunday night TV show.
Yeah.
And when is that beginning to be cloying and you need to go, I don't know how this night's going to end, but I need to be open to whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your wisdom here, Ken, on how to best apply this framework and not overemphasize?
Yeah, I mean, building off what you're saying, instincts and you know, it's a dessert topping and a floor wax. All this can be both things. And that if you really adhere to it, this framework like you're talking about here, I think you could then overvalue each path and then maybe undervalue each path. There's great value to a comfort TV blanket. There's great important value to that. And some of the stuff you're saying there, Joseph, you could either or it, or, you know, this must be the way, I must jump out of this plane. Maybe, is that what it's really about? Or is the adventure in something else? Is the adventure today being a little bit more honest with yourself or more honest with those around you? Is that the adventure because you're afraid to? Is the comfort knowing that, you know what, I'm not going to go in that bar crawl with those wild crazies. That's not the adventure I need.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think, that's going back to your gut and your instincts and you know what's right for you, and you know when you need it, and you know when you might need to push yourself. And I'm in those moments a lot too, but I'm also in the no. I'm gonna go order that rum and diet because that's what I do, and that's what I know I want, and that's me happy right now. It is truly about knowing yourself, and that's this journey, I think. So there you go.
Yeah.
Both are valuable, but both aren't everything.
That's there right. You go. I love that Dune quote, and I think it helps me when I'm stagnating. Mm-hmm. And so I think it is really great advice that you need change, because sometimes the sleeper must awaken, but also sometimes the sleeper needs a rum and Diet Coke and a nap, and that's fine too.
Sleeper needs to sleep.
The sleeper needs a nap. That is our look at comfort versus adventure. Ken, you want to take us home?
I'd love to. We are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Hive if you're still there. We're also on Threads. Will we get the blue sky? That might be Joseph's department. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We're on Facebook as well, Force Center Podcast, Instagram, and YouTube as well, as Joseph said up top, for Patreon supporters. All levels this coming Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, a special live life-ranked episode taped in front of you and then released later to the public. So come interact with us. It'll be fun. You can go to our Patreon page for more there, and subscribe on the YouTube channel as well. Podcasts available in a lot of different spots. You might have your comfort spot like Apple Podcasts, but if you tried TuneIn, I don't know. Try that adventure. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter, and you can support us, as we set up top, at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Follow me at KedNapsuck. Go to my website, kednapsuck.com. It's not officially on there, but I will be in New York during the week of New York Comic Con, performing shows with Mark Ellis at the New York Comedy Club in the East Village. And there's going to be a Seattle date right around Christmas. I'll be spending my Christmas up in the Pacific Northwest. So that and more dates on the way soon. Jen, what can I find and follow you and get more Monchichi and Cabbage Patch content?
That's right. You can see my Vintage Chronicles, as I'm calling it, on TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138 and all the other social media platforms at Jennifer Landa.
Love that. Joseph, take us home.
Yeah, you can find me on almost all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. In particular, come find me on Blue Sky. I am enjoying that one. But hey, with their weird invite code, it's still a little sleepy over there, in my opinion. So come join the party on Blue Sky. I will hopefully have more exact details soon about when the short film, The Nightmare Adorable, will be screening. But it is going to be playing at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival in the Pacific Northwest in Portland, Oregon, the weekend of October 6th through 8th. Also, I don't have any of the details yet, but it did get into another festival, so I'll get some dates on that one soon as well. So that is it for me.
That is it for Joseph. That is it for Jen. That is it for me. And hopefully all of you can go have some adventures today, but bring your comfortable pants. All right. We'll see you next time here on Other Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.